Wonderful Christmas Eve, the time that we can celebrate the birth, the greatest gift that's ever been given, the gift that God gave to us. Some of us don't recognize how wonderful and how great that gift is, but it's the greatest gift you could ever get. If you had somebody that said, I've got a diamond ring, it's a 4-carat, I don't know, is that a real expensive one? I've never had that. A diamond ring that I want to give to you. That gift can't compare to that which God has given to us. Because the things of this world, and beside that, in heaven, the gates are of pearl and the streets are of gold, and we put such value on those things, but the greatest gift is Jesus, that God has given him to come and dwell among us, to be with us and in us. How wonderful that is. So I'm going to talk today about the birth and life of Jesus as foretold in the scriptures. And so I would like to just acknowledge the presence of God and ask him to anoint me and anoint us to receive and to receive something from his word. In Jesus' name we come today. Thank you for that way that has been made that we can come before your throne, O God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will anoint my lips, anoint my mind, anoint our hearts to receive. Speak to us today, O God, through your word, through the revelation of Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but nobody really knows what day he was born. There are lots of ideas, and one person may say it was around October, and somebody else says, no, it was January. Anyway, but I'm glad that we still celebrate and give thanks for his birth. It doesn't matter what day he was born, as far as our giving recognition and knowing that he was born and giving thanks. Because of God's amazing grace to us, Jesus willingly, and I say that willingly, submitted to God's plan to unite us to a holy God. Jesus was not forced to go, but he willingly said, I will go and pay the price. Of course, we know that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he agonized over the price that had to be paid, but he still willingly said, not my will, but thine, dear Lord. Jesus came to earth born as a baby, clothed in human flesh, to pay the full penalty. He came for the very purpose to pay the penalty for our sins. He's now our advocate before the Father God. Today, when we go to God, Jesus is the one who advocates for us. He says, Father, remember the blood that I shed. Remember that I have paid the price. I took the pain. I took that. And it is only through Jesus that we can draw near to God. Before, we were separated until Jesus came and he gave us that access. Aren't you glad that we have that access? Amen. There are some who question the divine birth of Jesus. Perhaps it's a lot of things that go on in the world today and doubt, and people say, oh, I can't imagine, I can't understand. Well, just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. There are a lot of things I don't understand about science. I don't understand about many things. But perhaps it's because they've not read or do not understand the Bible prophecies. According to mathematician Peter Stoner, there are 108 prophecies in the Bible that have been fulfilled regarding the birth and deity of Jesus. 108 prophecies. Now, we hear a lot of prophecies today. People say, I have a word from God. Well, I'm not sure it's always from God. Sometimes it is, maybe, but not always. But those that are recorded in the Word of God, those prophecies, when they have been fulfilled, we know they were from God because they've been fulfilled. Although these prophecies are not all clumped together, they're not all in one place, they are revealed in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they declare the deity of Jesus and the faithfulness of God's promises. If he was faithful in that promise and those promises, he is also faithful in the promises that he makes about his return. He said, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. I don't go away just forgetting about you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. That is his desire to be with us. And so we know that that's going to be fulfilled as well. In Genesis, the 49th chapter, verse 10, as Jacob was nearing death and he was blessing his sons before his death, it says in the 49th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, the scepter, he said to each of his sons, different ones, and he came then to Judah. And he said, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. There's a whole lot in that verse, isn't there? He said, that's going to happen. And this, remember, is in the Old Testament when Israel is dying, Jacob is dying, and he said, the scepter is not going to depart. And the one who's going to take rule, he's going to have that staff, and it will belong to him. And the obedience of the nations shall be his. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So this is a prophecy that will be fulfilled. Yet it was prophesied years and years ago. In Daniel, the 9th chapter, in the 24th verse, Gabriel brought a message to Daniel. He says in the 24th verse, 77 weeks are decreed for your people and the holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Now, I spent hours trying to unravel that, exactly what it means. But understand that Daniel was praying. He was studying, reading books, and trying to understand that he was in captivity. The Babylonians had taken him, and he was there. He'd already been there for about 67 years in Babylonian captivity. And then he remembered a prophecy that Jeremiah had given. And the Gabriel said to him, remember it. And he told him that he knew that only 3 years were left, that they would be in captivity. And so he began to ask and to pray, and Gabriel talked to him. And he said that there's coming a time when he will put an end to sin, and he will atone for the wickedness. Jesus is going to die for our sins. This was prophesied, and bring everlasting righteousness. And he said, seal up this vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy place. Now, it's been unraveling lately, especially because the time is coming to the point. Now, when he said 70, it comes out 490 years. Well, we are about at 490 years, but the time of the Gentiles, the grace period, kind of separates, and we don't know exactly. And I can't. Like I said, I'm not real sure about all of that. I'm still studying it. You study it and tell me a little more about it. But in Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2, this was 700 years before Jesus' birth. But you, Bethlehem, he says, Ephrathah, and this was a specific spot in Bethlehem. He said, and he says, though you are small among the rulers of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He's going to be one that will come. And this is like 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And I'm sorry that I didn't leave that phone in my car, but it'll finally stop. I don't know why. That it's ringing. So anyway, this prophecy is and will be fulfilled. The one who will be ruler over Israel, he will be the one that will rule the nations, not only Israel, but all of the world. And then in Numbers, the 24th chapter, now understand, these are prophecies that are absolutely, we can count on them. We can know that they're true. And so, in Numbers, the 24th chapter, Balaam, remember the Balaam, that false prophet even. But he said these words. He said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. He had even revelation that he says, I see him, but not right now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. All of those noisy boasters, people who think that they are against God and they can triumph over him. He said, it's going to come. He said, I see him, but not right now, but he will come. This is another prophecy that happened many years before Jesus was born. Jesus was the star out of Jacob, and a star led the shepherds, isn't it interesting, and the wise men to Jesus. Jesus was the star that Balaam was talking about, prophesied about. In Psalm 72, verses 10 and 11, he says, David said, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. Now, this is many years before Jesus came, 700 or nearly 1,000 years. And he says, they're going to bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Sheba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. We still have part of that prophecy that will be fulfilled. And then can we question that Jesus is truly the Son of God? We have no doubt. In Hosea, the 11th chapter, verse 1, he said, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Well, some people say, well, he was not in Egypt, but he was. We know how that he was born in Bethlehem, but God told Joseph in a dream to rise up immediately and take Jesus to Egypt because he was to get away from Herod. Herod had given it a proclamation in order to kill all of the little boys. And so he told him, don't sleep anymore. You get up right now and you get out of here. How often do we have God speak to us and we hesitate? Say, well, wait a minute, not right now. But God said now. In Jeremiah, he said, the 31st chapter, verse 15, this is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah. That's an area in Bethlehem, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted. And, of course, we know that was when Herod demanded that these children, these little boys, be killed because they are no more. This prophecy is about Herod killing all the boy babies after the birth of Jesus in an effort to destroy Jesus. But you know what? I read a little note that I did not know, and I'm not sure, but anyway, Herod died about a year after that. And that's why Jesus could come back from Egypt and come back to Nazareth. But they say that there was a terrible eclipse or darkness at that time. Jesus is the Son of God, and darkness came over the earth just at the fact that Herod had tried to destroy him. And so then in Psalm, the 22nd chapter, the Psalm of David, and you probably have heard this, he said he gave this prophecy all about the death and the crucifixion. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? David is taking on this personage of this individual. He probably did not know at all who he was talking about. He said, why are you so far from saving me? This is what Jesus said, so far from my cries of anguish. Jesus had to go through that because that's what we were deserving of, and he took it for us. He said, I cry out by day, you don't answer. Night, I find no rest. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. And it goes on, and it says, we've put our trust in you, and you delivered them. And to you they cried out and were saved. He said, all the things you've done. But now, he said, all around you see those who mock me, they hurl insults, shaking of their heads. And he talks about the crucifixion. How would David know that? He didn't. It was revealed to him to give us some stability to understand that Jesus truly was ordained. The Son of God came to earth and paid the penalty for our sins. And then he says, my bones are out of joint. All of the things he went through, my heart has turned to wax and melted. My mouth is dried up. My tongue sticks. All of the things, dogs surround me. All of these things that Jesus went through. He says, I hung there naked. People stared at me and they gloated over me. They divide my clothes. How would he know they were going to divide Jesus' clothing? They did, though. It was a prophecy that was foretold and cast lots. He said, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. I'm telling you that because Jesus took this, we do not have to go through all of these things. We can look at everything here. When they mocked him and made fun of him, then we don't have to receive that because Jesus took it for us. 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, crucifixion was unheard of at the time of this prophecy when this David gave this. The Jews did not crucify. They stoned their people. They stoned the criminals to death. But, of course, then when the Romans took over at the time of Jesus' death, the Romans were in control, and the death was by crucifixion. But they didn't know that when this prophecy was given. It was a mystery. And then in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we read there where the prophet there prophesies and he says, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? God wants to reveal his arm to you and to me, but who is it that's going to receive and going to see and accept it? He says, Jesus is going to grow up as a tender plant and he has no form or comeliness. Sometimes we have a lot of young people today because of social media. They think, well, I don't look like this person or like that. I want to look like this. And they get discouraged. They want to die because they can't conform and look like somebody else. Jesus took all of that for us. He'd had no comeliness. He was despised and rejected. There was no beauty that we would desire him. And he was stricken and we didn't esteem him. We thought God just... that this was an act of God. Well, God allowed it to be so that you and me could be redeemed. And then he says toward the end of that, he said, he shall see when you make his soul an offering for sin. There's the glory of it. When I present to God this offering that Jesus made for me, came to earth, born in a manger, became a human so that he could go to the cross. When you present that to me, God says, I will see that. And that is, I'll see it and I'll accept that sacrifice. I'll accept that. He said, the pleasure of the Lord will prosper and he'll see that and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Jesus justified us. Just as if I'd never sinned, if we will accept it. And so, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. And it even tells us in this prophecy that David gave, he said that he would die with the criminal, and yet he would be buried with the rich. Well, how would somebody know that? But it was prophesied. Then in Luke, in the New Testament, the 26th verse, first chapter, Gabriel came and spoke to Mary. It was the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. You're blessed among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. foreordained, Gabriel came and gave that word to Mary. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary responded. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. Behold, henceforth," and she prophesies now, she says, "all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." She didn't say that they were going to worship her, but she said, "he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." We need to remember that. "And he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things." And she goes on with that prophecy and how often it has come true. It is true, so true. And then in Luke, the first chapter, Zacharias, remember that's John the Baptist's father. He gave a prophecy. John's father, the high priest Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation." Now, Jesus has not yet been born, but he knows, he gives this prophecy for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. And so he goes on. He says, "Holiness and righteousness shall be before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called," and then he speaks about his own son, "will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins." Now, there had been 400 years before John the Baptist. The prophets were silent. There was nothing given. They lived in silence. Can you imagine what it would be to not hear from God, not have any word from God for 400 years? And then he sends John the Baptist, and he has to preach. It has to be a man like John the Baptist, who was a kind of a crazy guy. He had to get the attention, and he lived different from other people. He was an individual. God has a calling for each of us. It's not the same for every person, but the message is still the same. And John says that you repent and make way for the Lord, prepare the way. And he said, Zacharias goes on, he said, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, to make them realize the things they're doing, that they're in sin, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Jesus is the day spring. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then in the second chapter, the angel proclaimed Jesus' birth. Now, there were in the same country shepherds. Remember how they were in the field. And the interesting thing is that those shepherds were in the fields where they raised the lambs that were specifically prepared for the sacrifice, to be the lamb that would be slain. So these shepherds knew that these sheep had to be perfect, but one day there would be a perfect lamb. And so the angel came to those shepherds that night. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord came around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Then he said, "This is going to be the sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." He was going to be lying in a feeding trough, right there, probably the very place where they took their sheep to feed them. And they were familiar with the place, no doubt. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what we want today, isn't it? We want peace. Mm-hmm. And just that wonderful presence of God in our world. We need that. Yes. There was one angel that came and announced it. May have been Gabriel came and announced it. And the other angels came and sang the songs and said, blessed, holy is the Lord. And then in Luke, the second chapter, after the 25th verse, beginning there after Jesus was born, and we read, Simeon sees God's salvation. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Not just for me, all peoples. It includes us today. Jesus came for our salvation. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. A light for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It is for us all, for all peoples. The Bible tells us that by two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We have proof in the Bible. These are just a few of the witnesses. It would take all day to go through all of them and explain it. But these are just a few of the prophecies that witnessed and foretold the birth of Jesus and the reason he's coming to bring salvation, to deliver his people, not just Israel. And we pray for the deliverance of Israel. We know they are God's chosen people. They've been selected, and they will succeed. God will give them victory, but we need to pray for them. But they're going through a lot, and my heart grieves. But we will continue to pray for them. But the Bible says that he came for all people, and he will rule all people one day. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he truly is Lord of lords and King of kings. We choose to bow now. I come today and say, Lord, I bow and I recognize that you are truly the Lord of all lords. You're the King of all kings. There is none above you, none that can stand against you. Satan will be defeated. He is defeated. Amen. I thank God that we have Jesus who came for the purpose. He loved us. No greater love has any man shown than that Jesus showed, because he went to the cross for the purpose that we could be united with God. And then he still is our advocate. He's our attorney before God. When we come, we feel unworthy. All we have to do is say, because of Jesus, I recognize my sin or my error. And Jesus says, Father, I paid the price. And that's all it takes. And that's not the way it was before Jesus came. It was not a good situation. People were killed for their sin, and there was no forgiveness. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? I'm so glad for Jesus today. Amen. I don't know. There may be some of you that are watching today or perhaps here that say, I have not made Jesus the Lord of my life. I have actually questioned, did he really come for me? Did he really love me that much? I'm here to tell you he did come for you. He loves you. He paid the penalty for your sins and for mine. Jesus was born so that he could die to redeem you. It was not an easy thing, but he did it for you out of love, No greater love has any man than that Jesus had. He loved us when we were sinners. So if today you have not accepted him, I encourage you to make him the Lord of your life. Just pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that price that you paid. We thank you for coming to earth, choosing to come clothed in human flesh so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be saved from the judgment of God. Thank you for that. And Lord, today we recognize that without you, we are destined to eternal damnation. But we thank you that because of you, we repent of our sins and we receive you as Lord and Savior of our lives. In Jesus' name today, let every person today that's hearing me say, Lord, I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I trust that you have decided to follow Jesus. He is the greatest friend you'll ever have. There are a lot of people in the world today that'll say, I'll be your friend, but they cannot be the friend that Jesus will be because they're human and they have these faults and failures, and they'll not always, they may let you down, but Jesus will never let you down. He is faithful. I trust that you will have a blessed and glorious week. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church. Okay, is there anybody that has something you want to add? Anything?
I have a question. Why do you think that we don't know what day Jesus was born? Because they didn't have calendars so much?
Well, I read there's a list of historians, about 10 or 20, 10, 15 or whatever, historians that say he was born approximately the year 2 or 3 before BC.